Well, this was a very interesting situation for an astronomer priest by the name of Nicholas Copernicus, because during his career while teaching at the university and doing his research on astronomy, Copernicus found out that the Earth was not the center of the universe as it was suggested in natural theology. So while the church was claiming infallible knowledge and put the Earth in the center of God's domain, Copernicus started to realize that this was not true, that the Earth revolved around the sun, that the sun itself wasn't even the center of the universe. And now he was in a bind, because while he had the scientific evidence to reveal that the Earth was not the center of the universe, that the church was indeed fallible, he was smart enough to realize that by providing this information to the public, he would end up in the Inquisition court himself and then suffer either the punishment or the requirement to recant his heretical views. Copernicus is really a smart guy, though. What he did is he waited until his deathbed in 1543. And as he was dying, he released to the public his book on the nature of the solar system and the movement of the Earth around the sun. And it was interesting because what he was actually saying to the church was, listen, I'm out of here, but you're going to have to deal with this science because I'm leaving that behind. And this put the church in a very awkward position because without anybody to persecute, then they were stuck with the reality of the science that Copernicus offered. And as a result of that, the science revealed that the church was indeed fallible. And when the church was fallible, it meant that it was also open then to question, that scientists could then further question to find out what other fallible things has the church required or what other fallible things has the church offered us that may be different if we understand them. As a result of this ability to ask questions about the universe without the restriction of the church, this represented the birth of modern science. So in fact, the deathbed date of Nicholas Copernicus, 1543, is marked as the beginning of the scientific revolution. While science came in, it decided it did not want to offer truth the way the church did, just based on opinion and information that was passed from generation to generation. Science was really trying to say, what is a truth? We have no idea what a truth is. In fact, one of the early philosopher scientists of the day, René Descartes, suggested that we throw out all knowledge because he said whatever knowledge we brought forward to this time, no one knows whether it's really true or not, or whether it was just hearsay that was passed on. As a result, throwing out the knowledge said we must provide new truths for the world that we live in. To prevent the kind of truths that sneak through in regard to the religious education, science provided what was called analytical science. Analytical science was based on observing the phenomena of the world, then actually recording all the observations, and then coming up with ideas or hypotheses of how the phenomena that we observe actually occur, and then creating experiments to test those hypotheses. When the hypotheses were correct, things were predictable. If the hypotheses were incorrect, then, of course, they were not predictable. That would lead the scientists to readjust the hypothesis, trying to get a more accurate sense of the truth, all based on predictability. Well, as the church's control over knowledge fell and scientists started to appear, of course, scientists also entertained the philosophy of how the universe works. Some of the scientists were followers of Socrates that believed in an energy world of vitalism behind the expression of life. And then again, there were other scientists who were actually followers of Democritus, who believed that atoms were the central structure of the universe. These people were atomists as compared to the others who were vitalists. The atomists perceived the universe as a physical machine derived from these atoms, the atoms being the smallest parts of the world, each with different characters. And so by understanding the nature of any physical structure and the atoms that comprise it, we would get insight into the character of that structure and the reasons for the actions and reactions provided by it. As a result, scientists started to try to understand the world with these two different divergent philosophies. One of the most prominent scientists to actually shape modern science was Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was an atomist in this regard because he looked at the world and the universe as a machine. He looked at the movements of the planets and the stars in the skies and suggested that their clockwork actions actually reflected a physical mechanism. In trying to understand the movements of the system, Isaac Newton came up with a new kind of mathematics called differential calculus. And into those mathematical equations, he put the physical characters of the things he was studying, the planets, or for example, the moon. And in the equation, he put the mass of a planet. He put the direction of the movement of the planet. He put the character of gravity, which is a reflection of the size or mass of the planet, and as well, the acceleration of the planet. When he started to resolve these equations, he found that he was able to accurately predict the movement of the bodies in the universe. The significance of this predictability revealed that he fully had a truthful understanding of what was going on in this universe, because predictability is the hallmark of a scientific truth. When he got finished, science took a different view of the world. The vitalists started to recede and decline in numbers. The atomists started to take over the field of science, starting to look at the world as a physical machine. And it was interesting because with a mission statement of modern science, formerly being the mission statement of natural theology, where we were trying to learn to live in harmony with the planet, the new mission statement of science in this mechanistic material world completely changed. For the reason is, if we do perceive the universe as a machine, then it is also very reasonable and logical to recognize that if you take this machine apart and look at its pieces, its atoms, its molecules, and its structure, that you would actually get an understanding of how the machine worked. And with this understanding of the machine and how it works, you'd also be able to influence the operation of the machine and the outcome of the machine. So as a result, post-Isaac Newton, the mission of modern science changed to this. It was now designed to obtain knowledge that can be used to dominate and control nature. And this was the expectation that if we lived in a physical world and we knew actually how the physical parts interacted, we could control that world, including humans, because humans, as part of the machine, would also represent a mechanical device. And knowledge of the mechanics of the human would lead to an understanding of how to control human life. For over 200 years after Isaac Newton's original work, scientists kept repeating Isaac Newton's work and looking at his equations and using them to define the operation of the universe. About 200 years later, by the end of the 1800s, around actually 1893, a number of eminent and prominent physicists came to the conclusion that Isaac Newton's equations did describe the universe, that there was nothing new to learn, that after this point, we actually don't even need any more PhDs in physics, because all the rest of physics is just going to use the same equations of Isaac Newton with finer and finer measurements and finer solutions to how the universe operated. So to me, it was a very funny and interesting time because it represents something that I call a cosmic joke. To me, a cosmic joke is when you think you actually know something so well that you would actually bet your life, bet your family farm, even throw the kitchen sink into that bet because you know for sure the outcome. And all of a sudden you make the bet and then right in front of your eyes, the answer is something completely different. You're so shocked that you can't even understand, how could I miss that? To me, that's a cosmic joke. Well, this is a great cosmic joke because here are the physicists actually saying it's the end of physics. We already know everything about the universe. And this is in 1893. And then the universe throws them a big curveball because in 2 years, new information about atoms starts manifesting. Rentgen discovers X-rays, that energy rays that can actually pass through matter. The Curies come up with an understanding of radioactivity, that atoms release energy and change themselves into different kinds of isotopes, that the permanence and final uncuttable nature of atoms was now in question. There appeared to be something within atoms. Atoms were not the smallest piece of the universe.